Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the 5-Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation and hosted on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, jitterymonkey.com. I am Greg Mahochko. This is episode number 9 of the 5-Heart Podcast, and for the 9th time, and countless times before that on various other Husker-related audio goodies, my friend, fellow Husker fan, and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian, told Brian, 7-0 doesn't feel so bad.
Greg, we are the worst 7-0 team since college football started back in 18-something-something-something.
18-something-something-something?
Whatever. Whenever Rutgers got their ass kicked the first time.
And they've been getting their asses kicked ever since.
We're 7-0 team. Why do we bother?
Even though
we get this mantra because Nebraska doesn't vote for themselves to be number one in the nation – the press are voting them 6, and the same press that vote them 6 are the ones that tell them they suck. Makes sense. God, it makes sense.
It's a conspiracy, man.
It's a goddamn conspiracy against everybody. Oh, my God.
But here's, you know, to that, if you listen to, Colin Coward, which I know he came out with remarks earlier this week about, you know, is Nebraska for real or however it was worded. And he said no. And he said because the team with the best record that they played is 5-2 Wyoming. But at the same time, you know, they're not – like, I don't think they scheduled any FCS opponents this year. I mean, Fresno's Division I. You know, I'm still calling it Division I. Obviously, Wyoming, Oregon, and then Big Ten play. But you still have a lot of these SEC teams. SEC, the quote-unquote pinnacle – of college football that are playing like Georgia Southern and, you know, whoever else. I mean, might as well trot out that JUCO team from Last Chance U on Netflix and put them out there because that's about the competition some of these schools are scheduling in the non-conference.
You know, the same Georgia Southern team that took Wisconsin to the fourth quarter, that Wisconsin, who still has the number one schedule in America, and that's fine, cool.
Well, I was pulling one out of my ass.
I know. Oh, that's deep. Anyway.
Hey, wait a minute. What?
Point being is this. In July, we all thought, oh, my God, we're never going to beat that Oregon team, and we're going to be lucky to win 8 freaking games. And all of a sudden, we're 7-0, and all – the narrative went from, oh, I don't know how we're going to get through this game because, you know, Craig Bull, he can stop. He has something for Nebraska. And we could be 1-2 after the first 3 games. And Mike Riley could be getting fired by the time that they get the
– and then the all of a sudden we got to the point like,
well, you know, it'd be really great if Nebraska was 7-0 by the time they got to the Wisconsin game. You know, and that was like a month before the season. And now – we're 7-0 before the Wisconsin game, and all of a sudden, who the hell are they played? So Oregon, they're just terrible. You know, Fresno State fired DeRuiter because he's just awful. And it's like, man, the narrative changes. And first and foremost, you know, if you listen to Colin Cowherd, evaluate your life. Seriously.
I caught that from the group chat earlier today. That's how I found out about it. But here's the thing.
It's like listening for Jim Rome. Evaluate your life.
I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back or anything like that. In the preseason predictions, I had us being undefeated at this point. I think I had us going to Wisconsin and winning, losing at Ohio State, beating them in the Big Ten championship, and then just being on the outside of the playoffs. Now, obviously, my scenario is very much, you know, in the realm of possibility, and I double down on that, if you will, in our bye week, you know, quote unquote midseason predictions. I'm not saying that in any, you know, like, yeah, I saw this coming. I've always been hopeful for whatever reason, you know, that the veterans on the offensive side would carry what I thought, you know, aside from the linebacking core was kind of a linebacking core, Nate Gary and Joshua Kalu, was kind of a younger, perhaps maybe even untested defense. You know, as we've talked at length, almost ad nauseum, you know, you replaced your entire defensive line. There were some, I don't want to say completely untested, you know, personnel in the back, in the secondary defensive backfield, but you know, you didn't have, you didn't know at really, in my opinion, who was going to step up. And we've seen, like, Karen Williams, Chris Jones, we've seen those guys step up. I said in my Bucky's fifth quarter, you know, Q&A, that I've been awfully impressed with the coverage that Kalu has provided this year. And again, he's not doing anything. He's not getting the interceptions, but man, he's a great coverage corner. And I'm very pleased with where we are. This is where I'm gonna sound like I'm either being hypocritical or something. After Ohio State lost to Penn State last week, I thought, you know what, they're gonna drop, and they're probably. I was hopeful because maybe it's the fact that I prefer being an underdog. You know, like I would rather us be 14-15 and feeling disrespected than being 7-6, 7-8 and getting the attention, yet we're still, like you said, we're still being disrespected. I like that this team is hungry. I like that this team is showing that you know, they are competitors, and I like the fact that obviously they haven't lost any games this year. Like you said, you can't have it both ways. You can't want them to be undefeated and yet want them to be a mid top 25, you know, like somewhere in that 12, 13, 14, 15, because teams have lost. I did not honestly expect Penn State to beat Ohio State. I'm glad it happened last week and not this week, because I don't really want to piss off Ohio State taking on Nebraska, because I think Ohio State is, you know, they've been in the spotlight longer. They've been there. They have a national championship recently. So it's, you know, that's still a big game for Nebraska, but they've got a big, big one tomorrow.
What are you trying to say? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
are you saying because I rambled on a little bit there?
Ramble on. Yeah. Here's the deal with Wisconsin. If Nebraska wins Wisconsin, it's a free roll versus Ohio State.
Yeah, playing with house money.
Yeah, because then you're one loss. Because then, you know, the only team – if Nebraska, let's say Nebraska, beats Wisconsin, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then loses to Ohio State, okay, one loss in the division, not so much one loss in the division, one loss in the conference, zero losses in the division, okay, that puts you at 5-1. Best case scenario, Northwestern is going to be 5-1 by the time you get there.
Tiebreaker.
And you have the tiebreaker. Okay. Everybody else has two losses. Iowa and Minnesota have two losses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and Iowa still has to play you. Michigan.
And us.
Iowa still has to play Michigan and Nebraska. Minnesota, they play – I'm trying to remember who they play this week. They play Illinois.
Yes.
And then they still have to face the gauntlet of – they did lose to Iowa. So, trying to remember the schedule for – they have to go play Purdue and then go to Nebraska. It's Illinois, Purdue, and Nebraska, the next three for Minnesota.
Yeah, but then they also have home game at Northwestern and then finishing up at Wisconsin too. So
yeah, so again, Nebraska wins that. They look really good. Now – Wisconsin, let's say they lose against Wisconsin. Well, all of a sudden makes that Ohio State game a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go 1-1 against these two games, you're going to take a win against Wisconsin more than you're going to take a loss against Wisconsin and win against Ohio State. Not saying that the Ohio State win wouldn't be appreciated, but as far as divisional play, you're going to want that win a lot more, because it's going to be hard to see Minnesota, you know, it's going to be hard to see Wisconsin go undefeated the rest of the way. And that's just, again, take care of the division. Sweep the division.
Mm-hmm. If you sweep the division, you're going to Indy regardless of facing Ohio State or Michigan. Exactly. And here's the thing too is at this point it could be both because that unless something happens to Ohio State or Michigan. I mean, I'm not spouting anything that you know that rocket surgery that nobody else knows, but Michigan wins out up to. You know, the Thanksgiving weekend and lose to Ohio State. Well, they both have one loss. And Ohio State's going to go with the tiebreaker. So I mean, the whole thing.
Here's the thing.
I don't care what, you know, ESPN, or ESECPN, whatever you want to call them. I don't care what they say. Honestly, I think that if you look at the better teams in each conference, I say the Big Ten's better than the SEC this year.
Okay, great. Okay. I mean, yeah, sure, but in the end, you got to win the Big Ten. You win the Big Ten, you make the decision, because guess what? SEC has Alabama and everybody else.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem is everybody's going to hang on Alabama. It's nuts.
And they've been doing that for a decade.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. Everybody's going to, SEC, you know, who cares about what A&M thinks? Who cares about what Vanderbilt thinks, okay? I'm more worried about Nebraska winning against Wisconsin and then Northwestern losing to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Because if that's the case and Nebraska beats Minnesota, the West is theirs no matter what.
Let's talk a little bit about this past weekend.
You know, it was a team, Purdue, that really kind of, if you think about it, kind of just...
You think they were playing with something to prove?
I think so. I think, you know, the hype of
losing their head coach.
The hype of losing their head coach, hype of playing for somebody that, you know, trying to get them their job.
And at the same time, they're coming in, granted this season's been down, but I mean, they... didn't have, you know, a horrible record. It's not like they were winless or anything like that, but you know, they probably were hanging their hat, maybe not hanging their hat, but they remembered when Nebraska went to West Lafayette last year, and they remember
Lafayette. You French?
It doesn't matter. It's like Louisville, Kentucky. There, I said it. Louisville, Kentucky. Come at me, bitches.
How about Beat Rice, Nebraska?
I'll tell you what, true story. When I was very early in my broadcasting career out in Chadron, we did funeral announcements on the radio, as most small-town stations do. And I was reading one that had family from Beatrice or, you know, was being interned. You know, had some connection there. And I read it the way I thought it was, being from Illinois. I was like, from Beatrice, Nebraska.
Inbox.
No, out in Chatter, nobody cared. And in Beatrice, nobody could hear me. But my boss was like, hey, he smarted me up. He said, hey, it's Beatrice. I said, gotcha. Thanks, downtown Dennis Brown.
It's Beat Rice. Yeah.
No, but, you know, they remember what they were capable of as a unit last year against Nebraska. Now, granted, it wasn't a Nebraska with Tommy Armstrong. It was a Nebraska suffering through Riker Fife. But they remember. So, you know, I think perhaps last week I was a little unfair to Purdue in my prognostications. They played well. They played close. They
threw the ball a lot first quarter.
What is it? I can't remember how to pronounce it. Is it Blau? Blow? Bluff?
I think it's Blow. Let me look that up. That's a good question, you do that, actually.
Because he was...
David. His first name is David.
We'll just call him David and call
him... Hi, David.
I think it's Blow. But,
David. Yeah, David.
This is
interesting.
Purdue Coronation After win. Dark.
This coming weekend. You know, because they kind of got the whole – they're going against Penn State. The whole letdown for Penn State thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, what's funny is – I don't know if Greg's ever seen it. You know, we all get the ability to look at the depth chart and everything like that for all the college teams. Purdue, they're ever since with Daryl Hazel, they had the most plainest. I mean, it's a good word, but the most plain looking media guide ever. It's like you took a book and you said, you know, pictures don't need to go on there. Logos, you know. We don't even really need colored ink. We just really need – just put words. Just put a ton of words.
And it's the media guide?
The media guide. Have you ever get a chance to look at the Purdue media guide a couple years back? Now, this year, they're like, well, you know, we got this color printer. What are we going to do with it? So they finally kind of went along with it.
Meanwhile, some other school is out there with a – like a 3D printer. And they have like a little rocket blasting off or something like that.
I do.
I'm actually opening up the PDF of it right now just so I can see it and enjoy the chuckles.
Chuckles.
Yeah.
Chuckles is a clown. Anyway.
And clowns are not to be outdoing
their... about Purdue.
Oh, look at that. They have a picture right on the front page, man.
They do, don't they? It's kind of crazy.
You're and like, then you whoa. Scroll down, and it's just words and numbers, and I'm going to fall asleep.
The words are black.
It's 182 pages. White.
That's normal.
It is 182 pages of words.
And that's normal.
I that's fine. I understand that it's normal. I'm just saying it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to the good media folks who have to sit through. It's bad enough that they have to sit through Purdue. They could at least see a few pictures.
You know what the cheat sheet is on that? Most people now put it on PDFs.
That's what I'm looking at right now, yeah.
Not PDFs. Cards. SD cards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, same
a lot thing. Of schools do that now.
Oh.
Because.
I found another picture.
They kill a book when they do it.
I found another picture.
A tree is dead.
Would you like to know where I found the other picture?
Page number 838. I don't know.
The back cover.
I was just going to say the back cover.
This is what it is. If you open it, if you have the Purdue media guide and you open it up like away from you, so where you're seeing the full cover, the one jersey on the back cover, the left side says 20, and the jersey on the front cover says 16. Because it's the 2016 football season.
Sounds. Seriously?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Whoa.
Year of our Lord.
Man, FedEx Kinko's must get them a great rate.
Man, don't get me started on shipping. I'm so mad right now. All right, so
anywho,
as we record this on Thursday night, 2 days ago, I ordered through Amazon Prime. Last minute, I understand that. My son's Halloween costume, which is not much. He's 10 months old and has no hair, so I got him a little Charlie Brown shirt. He's got some brown short or brown pants. It's going to be great. 2-day shipping, free, Amazon Prime. And I checked the tracking today, and it says, oh, it'll be here on Friday, which not a big deal because, admittedly, Halloween is not until Monday. But apparently at daycare tomorrow, as you read this or listen to this, today, Friday, is the trick-or-treat day where they, you know, all the kids go around to all the little classrooms there in the daycare and they collect their candy. And so we had a backup plan. We had a backup plan the hell out of that son of a bitch.
What'd you do?
Linus. You just got a red and white striped shirt and a blanket and we're happy.
You know what the great thing about that age is? You're going to discover this Tuesday. You're going to discover this Tuesday and you're going to hate it Wednesday.
Okay.
He ain't eating any of the candy. Y'all eating the candy.
Yeah, but we're not going trick-or-treating with him.
Doesn't matter. You're still going to eat all the damn candy.
We're not getting any candy.
Oh, look. You got a Kit Kat bar. A 10-month-old can't eat a Kit Kat bar.
But again, where is this candy coming from?
Your neighbors.
My neighbors aren't dropping off candy.
You just ride around. You just take them in a little trike or a little red wagon, ride around. And they're like, ooh, kid, cute. Throw candy. Or they're the ones you really don't like to be around. Ooh, kid, cute.
I will say this. We've been in our house 2 months, just over 2 months, and everybody that we have talked to has been real friendly. I'll say that. So
yeah, because they haven't. You've kept your windows closed. Thank God.
Yeah, they haven't heard me during football season. They hear me yell at my dogs.
I've lived in my house 9 years,
and you know none of your neighbors' names.
I know my one neighbor to the left of me. Nice guy, but he's the cousins that live with him are weird. Their cousins look weird. The one to the right of me, I've seen exactly
are
two
they,
times.
Are they kissing
years.
Cousins?
They're not kissing cousins.
No.
I think the one the guy was in there, and I think his sister got divorced, and I think the kids are moved in with them. But
you're
it,
right.
It,
you're
it's
right.
Not
a you, bad thing. You live in Texas, not Arkansas. If you lived in Arkansas, I'd be kissing cousins.
Greg. Anyway. The neighbors to the right of me are pilots.
Nice.
The one is a pilot. I never see her. She might be home one day a week. The only thing I know about her is she spends like 50, 60 bucks every 2 weeks to get her lawn like perfectly manicured. It makes mine look like trash, so I won't even try anymore.
I wouldn't have tried in the first place.
The one neighbor that was behind me, it's kind of weird. Your garages in Grand Prairie and Arlington and such like that, your garages are not in the front of your house.
They're detached yet.
No, they're not even detached. They're in the back of the house. So everybody gets in through an alley. There's an alley behind your house. That's where all the garages are.
I see.
And the one guy across my alley, the one guy that would live there when I first was there was really nice. He was a great guy. He lived there like not terribly long. And then poor guy had a heart attack and passed.
Oh, that sucks.
So now the dude that owns the house now rents it out. And they haven't been too bad neighbors. I mean, there's one guy that was kind of, what's up, dude? Oh, jeez. Anyway, and the family there now is really cool, but it's weird. You know, you come home at like midnight.
Yeah.
And maybe not you, but me living in a big city, my biggest fear is somebody jumping me in my garage at midnight when I come home, right?
Yeah. No, come on now. I'm paranoid. I think about
I'm always worst case scenario about that. Well, I come home and I'm getting out of my car and I look across the alley and their garage door is wide open. So like literally anybody can walk in and you're like, I just want to go over and close it. I really do. And then I get up and like 7:00 in the morning and go outside looking in and the garage is still open. You're like, man, I don't know. If I could lock my grass down, I'd do it. But whatever. So, anyway, football.
Yeah. So there was a game this past Saturday, as there typically is, and in that game, Nebraska barely. Is it safe to use barely as a descriptor? Barely beat Purdue.
I think uncomfortably.
Okay. Narrowly, perhaps?
No.
27-22. That's awful damn narrow.
That was Indiana. Sir.
Now, hold on. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just
we
that
I'm follow
bad with
Nebraska
numbers.
Football, everybody.
On occasion, we talk about it. okay, I'm sorry. 27-14.
Yeah, they shut them out the second half.
Okay.
The back 40 minutes of the game. But here's a question. Here's a very fair question. Is this team going to go as far as the injuries on the offensive line allows them?
There was a time when we would say, or when I said, that they'll go as far as Tommy Armstrong can take them. Obviously, having a healthy offensive line helps.
Tommy won on the game Saturday.
Yeah.
The passing won on the game.
But I think everybody would agree that if the offensive line is healthy, Tommy's job's a little bit easier.
I think they miss Carter. They really don't miss Carter.
Absolutely.
They they kind of miss Westerkamp, as in who the hell are you going to go to on third down? They get that back this week.
Or red zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stanley Morgan's been a little better in the red zone personally. That's just my opinion. I mean, maybe Westerkamp's just a little better option, but I think that as his offensive line goes, Nebraska's going to go. It's going to, you know, because even if they win this week versus Wisconsin, and I still think the odds are still at least best at worst 50-50, because I think Nebraska's defense is a lot better than a lot of people are giving credit to, especially the run D.
I'd agree with that.
I think that Nebraska's offensive line is really going to make it better, because you're not going to be able to open up, use the pass to open up the run with Nebraska. You're just not going to. I don't see how you only run 1 or 2 yards on average. Especially, and I still think Tommy's more hurt than people like to admit. You know, he's probably not going to be healthy till the bowl game. You know, you have a gimpy Gates who pretty much has a club for a left foot. You have a Neville who has a club for a foot. Utter, if I remember right, has a dislocated finger or something like that. You know, but at the same time, it seems like Kavanaugh and Riley are both trusting those guys at 70-80% than they are the backups at 100%. You know,
is that fair? I mean, is that a fair assessment on their part? I mean, the backups, it seems like all season long, haven't gotten a whole lot of work.
It's not fair in that you're right, but at the same time, that's what Nebraska is most comfortable doing. Okay. Now my question is this, you know, where's our offensive line depth then? You know, where's this offensive line depth that I know we've recruited? Okay. I mean, let's face this. Let's say this. You know, the best line has been Gates, Hahn for Gerald Foster, Utter, Farmer, and Keneal. Okay. Well, here's a problem. Cole Conrad, your backup on left tackle and right tackle. Okay.
And he can't be in two places at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
He'd love to tell you that again. So it's either, and those are your two most injured guys. Okay. They happen. That's one of your big problems right there. You know, third guy on left tackle is Christian Gaylord, and I haven't seen Christian Gaylord in the damn game in a while.
Probably going back to non-conference, if I had to guess.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, Conrad's not bad. I wouldn't say he's great. But he's your one backup against two dudes with issues, you know? Isn't that a problem?
It's not ideal.
I mean, it's not that we're, it's not what we really want.
Like not, you said, if God forbid, knock on wood,
and that's off this week's depth chart,
right?
There's nothing. I'm not shooing anything away. It's just that's what the depth chart says. You know,
but like I said, if you know, God forbid, you know, the left and right tackles went down, that's, you know, somebody's going to have to step up, and I don't know, that is not a I'm not paid enough to make those decisions, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I guess that's just my only worry with this game. You know, if they can stay at 80% through the whole game and not get hurt, which, knock on wood, let's hope. I heard that. Your head?
Yeah. No, I'm actually sitting at the kitchen table tonight. We actually brought it in out of the garage. By we, I mean my wife, today while I was at work.
Oh, man.
So. But, yeah, no, let's let me get your take on Saturday.
This cold past. Or hot?
We'll do cold. I don't want you to get hot about anything.
Cold take me.
Yeah, awkward. what were your thoughts after 15 seconds of game clock went off? Because to remind people who may have forgotten, Nebraska kicks off, and Purdue I don't remember if they knelt or if they tried running it out, but either way, first play from scrimmage, a pass, a halfback option pass, which was a horrible decision and horribly executed, was deflected, picked off by Nebraska, and then I'm watching this at work because I have a customer supposed to come in, so they come in right after the pick, and so I don't actually see the touchdown. Brian, take it from there.
Zone read.
Tommy being Tommy.
And pinched, and Tommy said, peace out.
Right.
So it's 7-0, and you're thinking, okay.
This is going to be a route. Florida is,
no, I don't think. I never thought it was going to be a route. I'm like, man, Purdue's just going to try to. Purdue's either going to be looking really good all of a sudden, they're going to get behind an 8-ball really bad. And that second drive with that long pass, and you notice who they're picking. You know what's funny is they're picking on Kalu a lot. Although the really long touchdown pass, the one in the second quarter, back-to-back plays they picked on Chris Jones. And Jones probably had his worst game of the year so far. But if they're going to pick on Kalu, was Lamar Jackson going to come in at any time?
We saw him a little bit.
You saw him, but, you know, how many important snaps have we seen Lamar in? I don't remember.
No. We haven't seen him as much.
I mean, you know that you say, oh, there he is, you know. And they just kept throwing the ball because Purdue could not run. And, you know, they had the best play for them all day was a 6-yard dump down to the running back, and that's where Manderis got his tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned, hey, man, Josh had a pretty good game. Oh, everything was 6-yard pass line of scrimmage. Well, you know what?
If Josh, you only do that twice, you get a first down every two plays, you know?
Josh misses a couple of those, 6 yards become like 12, 13 yards, and those add up a little bit. So yeah. I'll live with the million cuts because eventually you're going to catch up to it, you know? So
we have here at Coronation, we've taken ample opportunities to poke fun at Banderas. Mostly for some of his younger, youthful rambunctiousness and off the field antics. But what's your take on Bando?
A guy that probably would have left if Bo Pelini stayed. A guy that said a lot of good things about Ross Ells last week that I completely don't believe because. that was his position coach of a guy that he hated, so he was going to leave. I think he's gotten it. I think he's the poster child of Trent Bray. There's nobody linebacker-wise, save maybe Young, that are going to be just knockout, standout players. But they're serviceable. And Nebraska for a long time did not have serviceable linebackers.
No, they went a long time without.
Ever since Levante David left, it was pretty much like, oh, okay. You know, and that was the same theory as Sue. You know, Bo Pelini never could say, hey, look what I did with Sue. Hey, look what I did to Levante David.
Those were Callahan guys.
Well, you know, I just.
Well, no, David wasn't, though, was he?
What's that?
He was
JUCO.
Yeah, he was JUCO, but he was brought in by Pelini, recruited by Pelini, or by that staff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But point is this, you know, that was a bad group last time Nebraska went to Madison.
Oh, don't, you know, please don't. Which is Melvin Gordon. Well,
guess what? A lot of those players are coming back. There's no Corey Cooper to take a bad angle. There's no Daniel Davey to take a bad angle. There's still Nate Jerry, who pretty much gave up halfway through that game, you know.
But I don't think that's the same Nate Gary that we've got this year.
No, and I like the hope I'm wrong, but trust me, it could creep up on you. If you start feeling that snowball effect again, oh boy, you know?
Quicksand.
Quick take. Ooh.
No, quicksand.
Oh, quicksand, yes, yes. You start swimming, you start wiggling. The more you start wiggling, the faster you go down. The only thing that killed you when you were a young man watching movies, quicksand and drinking poison. You remember those when you're a young kid and watch movies?
No.
You ever saw the people that got in the quicksand? You know that there's a bunch of quicksand things in the beach, and their ankles are stopped, and they kept wiggling. And how can you not get pulled out? About you know, you're like how does you not get out of that?
My two big references that I pull on for quicksand, one's actually called lightning sand, and it's in the forest of whatever in Princess Bride. Don't laugh. It's a great movie. And then the other is in Blazing Saddles, where Bart and his buddy pull themselves out of the quicksand.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's about it. Anywho.
Let's keep it for an hour this week.
Yeah, well, I don't even know where we're at. Talk to me about the running back situation. Newbie's been doing a great job in the fourth quarter. Is Zigbo ready to go? Is he back to 100%?
Man, it's not like all week in the Divine practice, he's good to go. Whether he gets touches or not is another thing.
Right. Do you think they'll need that diversified two-headed attack against Wisconsin?
I think they'll spell each other enough to make it to where there's a fresh body available to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal, especially if Nebraska has to kind of wean into the running game. Okay.
What do you think? Let me ask you straight up. Do you think the pass will open up the run or the other way around?
I think the pass opens up the run, but the problem is Nebraska's not taking 5 sevens. If Nebraska takes a 7-step drop,
they're going to be eaten up.
It's a screen. Okay. Nebraska takes a 7-step drop. It's a screen. Bank this. Ryan Reuter even said this. Bank this. If it's a 7-step drop, it's a screen. 7-step drops are going to be shotgun snaps. If they're under center, you see 7 steps, it's a screen. That is kind of funny. You didn't see a lot of screens against Purdue.
No.
Because the line couldn't do it. You saw some against Illinois. You saw a big one. They didn't do that many against Indiana, but they had a big one if I remember right.
They had one if I
yeah,
recall.
Yeah, that's we can argue about Tommy's decision making or anything,
which we still do.
But it's going to happen. That's probably the one thing Nebraska could use Tommy to flip the switch on.
The screens.
Yes.
Regular
tunnel screens, whatever.
I've seen what I would like is a little bit more touch on some of those screen passes. You know, a little bit more accuracy. No, I know I'm not going to, but what I'd like to see, you know, I'd also like to see a winning Powerball Mega Millions lottery ticket, but I ain't going to see that either.
No, you're going to share.
I would. I don't need $527 million.
But you want it.
I don't need $1 million, but I could use it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but get back to the point here because all our listeners are like stopping now.
If they've made it this far, they're diehard, yes. And they're gonna see it out to the end.
Think about this receiver wise. Who do you trust as receiver wise on a screen?
On a screen?
Yeah.
Can I name more than one?
You can.
I like Westy on a screen.
Yeah.
Because he's shifty, and I like Stanley Morgan on a screen.
You don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Now the guy that you think you should appreciate, Pearsonell.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever reason.
No. I don't think so.
What do you mean? I don't think so.
I think DeMornay is that touchdown he had today. It's one cut and go. The less he has to think about moving, the better off he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing with the punt return thing. Still, you know, if he can make one move and he's gone, he's cool. If he's got to zigzag a little bit, well, then he starts thinking about the knees and then he starts thinking about the body.
I mean,
so forth.
I've never been a good athlete, period. But I've certainly never played at the level that these young men are playing. Do you think when he's back there set to receive a punt that he's thinking, oh man, I better not put too much pressure on my knee? I don't know this for a fact. Obviously, I've never talked with him, but I would bet the DPEs, you know, he's like, you can take my knee, just help me get to the end zone. You know, it seems to me, and I know he came in here, you know, and a good recruit and is talented, but and maybe I'm projecting my own hopes and dreams on these Huskers, but you know, we're called the Five Heart Podcast,
like everybody else.
And yeah, I know, right? We're called the Five Heart Podcast, and I'd like to think that they would all, you know, like, here, take my pinky finger, get us a conference championship, you know, take my left hand, get us a national championship type of thing. They all seem to me, at least, again, my projecting on them, that they're all Five Heart guys, you know?
Yeah, but let's think about this. You have a guy who pretty much took his knee and turned it into, you know, chopped lettuce. Okay.
Okay.
Well, spaghetti, whatever.
Shredded lettuce.
Yeah, shredded. His knee was destroyed.
Yeah, I know. I'm not laughing at DP's destroyed knee, folks. You're don't send angry emails.
Yes, you are.
Shut up.
Send it to him.
I hate you so much sometimes.
Don't you? But there has to be some sort of lack of confidence with something like that. Because in the back of your mind, it's always, oh, don't tear your knee. Oh, don't tear your knee. Oh, don't tear your knee. Okay? And I'm not saying that obviously he means it. You know, he's like, oh, I'm trying to be careful.
Like a subconscious or unconscious worry or concern.
It has to be. It's going to be something that's going to be there at least – at the very least through spring ball. Because remember, he didn't do nothing in spring ball. Remember, he didn't go full speed until like the second week of the season.
Right.
You know, that was a full 10 months. Right?
And it was the Purdue game, wasn't it?
It was the Purdue game in the end zone that became the biggest sinkhole in North America.
Yeah.
Or Indiana, whatever came first. So
you say in Canada?
Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Might as well be Canada.
So. No. You don't understand how close I live to Indiana. I don't
know. Your house is probably in a more northern bias than West Lafayette, or whatever you call it.
Northern bias?
So you know who came up?
You confuse me sometimes.
I confuse a lot of people, including myself.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that's going to be with Wisconsin. We know the defense is probably going to shut it down. Let's say Wisconsin scores no more than 24 points.
Okay, that's two more than I had them projected for, but okay.
Can Nebraska get the 27-28?
I have I am going public with it now, but I have a score in mind. It's a 5-point advantage, Nebraska, 27-22.
Oh, like the Indiana game.
Yeah, why not? And maybe and that would be the third game in a row, 27 points for Nebraska. Sam Fultz watching out for us.
If that happens, Nebraska wins, you can officially get the voodoo going and say this is supernatural.
Jobu likes his rum.
Must wake up bats.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a fair question. Can Nebraska get to 27, 28 points? Because I think the one thing that Wisconsin does, they frustrate you. They frustrate the snot out of you on offense.
Can we say that Armstrong is a better quarterback than Hornibrook?
I think that's fair. Hornibrook throws his ball that like is a really high release point.
Yeah, it looks ugly as shit.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, gets there.
Effective, yes, but ugly as shit.
It's one of those really high release point ones that You're like, man, this thing's a floating knuckleball.
I really want our DBs, you know, like a safety coming underneath, and I just want jumping routes all day long. Like, I don't want them to even want to throw the ball by the second half.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Now I'll say this one thing, but I'll say this about Ohio State, the Ohio State game. They made Ohio State's defense look really tacky as hell the first half.
That was a 14-7 in overtime, if I remember correctly. I don't have it pulled up, but I got a pretty good idea.
Wisconsin led 16-6 at half.
Okay, then I
and then but up. At the same time, Wisconsin only scored one touchdown that half. Okay, first half it was a 24-yard pass. It was Hornibrook, the PV kid, Jazz PV. Okay, first half of that game, and I have it right in front of me. I'm looking for it right now. Second quarter was 16-6 at half. Wisconsin had thrown for 91 yards, ran for 68 yards. In the second quarter. I don't have half splits, obviously, unfortunately. But that was just – so Wisconsin ran for 102 the first quarter in 68, so they ran for 170. So what set up everything more, the run or the pass, you know?
Is it fair to say Wisconsin comes into the game 4-2? Again, the big win that they had was LSU, and they have two really good, really close competitive losses at Michigan and at home against Ohio State. They were off last week. They played against Iowa last week and won.
Well, they were off, so yeah.
Well, I mean, they only won by 8 points, too, but let's put the records aside.
Yeah.
And let's put the rankings aside. Or I tell you, let's keep the records. Let's put the rankings aside. Is a 4-2 Wisconsin team better than a 7-0? Yeah, thank you. 5-2 Wisconsin team better than a 7-0 Nebraska team?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say, because of their strength of schedule, you could say even. I'll live with that. But at the same time, this is also the same Wisconsin team that went to the fourth quarter with Georgia State.
Yes.
Georgia State, yep. And
I mean, they only have says, they have well, they beat them. They beat Michigan State, but everybody's beating Michigan State this year. And then they beat Akron by 44 points, but Akron's in nothing. When they beat LSU at the beginning, they grabbed a lot of attention. And I think rightfully so, because, you know, LSU was ranked very highly at the time. And you know, of course, now they're in a situation of they don't have a full-time head coach down in Baton Rouge. So this Wisconsin team's kind of an oddball to me. You know, they're very good. Well, their two losses are to very good teams, obviously. Just something about them makes me think that we can beat them.
The one thing I'll say about Georgia State, they didn't have Clement that game. They had the Ogunbowale, I think that's how I pronounce his name. That was the leading rusher. But here's what throws mind. Wisconsin's defense looked good last week, but how bad's Iowa's offense been?
Not great.
Hey, yeah, they scored 35 against Northwestern, but they also gave up 38. Okay, so then that argument, Wisconsin, you know, won that game what?
17-9.
You know, and I would say Iowa's defense isn't bad. I wouldn't say it's great. You know, I mean, I don't think, you know, Iowa only had 14 first downs, only ran 83 yards, only threw it for 150. And honestly, sounded like Kirk had the most conservative game plan, was just going to live with it till he died. So,
yeah, but this is also the same guy. This is also the same coach who said, like, nah, you can't, Eight points. That's a two score ball game. We can't go forward there. We gotta, you know.
Here's one thing Nebraska's got to do better. You know, Wisconsin was 8-17 on third down last week, and they had the ball at least 9 minutes a quarter.
Nebraska's got to eat the clock, dominate the time of possession, and I think whoever wins the turnover battle wins the game.
Well, if it's a turnover battle, historically, Nebraska hasn't done well with that.
Agreed.
Nebraska's been well with the ball this year, but then there's now, you know, the whole history. But does the thing that just sells me on this game is Nebraska plays better defense than people like to give them credit for right now. Okay. Offensively, I get the point, but Nebraska has been so mentally tough, especially in the third and fourth quarters. Especially in the fourth quarter.
Get the coffee a brewing, because coffee's for closers, and that's what Nebraska is in the fourth quarter.
Nebraska
always be closing.
Nebraska won the fourth quarter against an Indiana team and scored points against an Indiana team that has a defense that's not really terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They won the fourth quarter against Illinois when it looked like Illinois, you know, same theory with Purdue. Okay. Same theory with Purdue. You know, the offensive line was beat all to hell. Nebraska trailed in the second half, then won by two scores. Okay. You know, does the mental toughness come over to finally rid them of a place that has just haunted them ever since they've joined the Big Ten?
Well, we've given our predictions, and I think so. I think the good guys in red and scarlet and cream get the W as number 7 Nebraska travels to Madison to take on the 11th ranked Wisconsin Badgers. Google, by the way, Brian, we were talking about this, and it was even brought up in the Flakes this week. Rivals. And Google, if you just type in Nebraska football, it lists the rivals. And I don't know if they're in any particular order, but it says Iowa Hawkeyes, Minnesota Golden Gophers, Wisconsin Badgers, Miami Hurricanes, actually, in there. But at the same time, it also lists Lil Red first in the mascots and then Herbie Husker. So we can spend an entire episode talking rivals. But of the four listed there, who doesn't belong?
Me in this conversation? I don't know. I don't care.
Okay. Brian is done with rival talk.
I just don't care about rival talk. Beat them all.
Fine. All right.
Here's the problem. Here's the thing with rivals, and I'll make this short and simple. Rivals come out in the end, that you figure it out in the end. Oklahoma used to be, Colorado became one and then went. Missouri used to be one and then went. It's been 5 years. It'll come itself. You could call Wisconsin a rival, sure. Minnesota's just as much of a rival as it is. Iowa, it could be a rivalry if both teams had something huge playing for on it one day. So it'll come. That's all I'll say.
Minnesota's just the only trophy I enjoy.
That's all we enjoy. So,
before we go, right. before we start recording, we did open up, Facebook and Twitter to comments and questions, things like that. My buddy Chad, I don't know if you saw this, but my buddy Chad, who is an occasional co-host on another Jittery Monkey podcast, known as My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. It's a pro wrestling podcast if you're into that type of thing. And naturally, he has a pro wrestling themed question. It says, why doesn't Nebraska use former Chikara Pro star? Chikara Pro, if you're not familiar, is one of the indie wrestling promotions based primarily out of the East Coast area, but they do travel. Anyway, a wrestler by the name of Sharecropper to hype up the crowd. I actually looked this up. Did you happen to see the Sharecropper, Brian? Did you delve in?
No, I didn't.
So just quick, and I'll keep this quick, but Chikara Pro is kind of an all-ages kind of family-oriented wrestling promotion. A lot of bright, colorful characters. Kind of like, best way that I can maybe describe it is a comic book come to life. They have long, drawn-out stories. Anyway, the sharecropper is a wrestler who has what looks like a corn cob mask with a couple of green tassels at the top. I did not reach out to Sharecropper, although I wanted to for a statement, but I didn't know how to get a hold of him. But so there you go. Why doesn't Nebraska use former Chikara Pro star Sharecropper to hype up the crop rock? Because they never heard of him.
Why don't they use Cobby?
Because Cobby's offensive to many people.
And with that, we're going to call it.
He doesn't have a filter, and he's an alcoholic, Brian.
And with that, we'll call it a podcast.
Hey, just remember, Five Heart is the only heart you need. That's Brian Toll. I'm Greg Mahochko, Five Heart Podcast. We'll see you next week. Go Big Red.
Yeah.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.